Good morning.
Amen.
The scripture reading this morning is Acts chapter 2, verses 1 through 21. When the day of the Pentecost had come, they were all together in one place. And suddenly from heaven there came a sound like the rush of a violent wind, and it filled the entire house where they were sitting. Divided tongues, as of fire, appeared among them, and a tongue rested on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other languages, as the Spirit gave them ability. Now there were devout Jews from every people under heaven living in Jerusalem. And at the sound of the crowd gathering, and was bewildered, because each one heard them speaking in the native language of each. Amazed and astonished, they asked, "Are not all these who are speaking Galileans? And how is it that we hear, each of us, in our own native language? Parthians, Medes, Elamites, and residents of Mesopotamia, Judea and Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt and parts of Libya belonging to the Cyrene, and visitors from Rome, both Jews and proselytes, Cretans and Arabs, in our own languages, we hear them speaking about God's deeds of power." All were amazed and perplexed, saying to one another, "What does this mean?" But others sneered and said, "They are filled with new wine." But Peter, standing with the 11, raised his voice and addressed them, "Fellow Jews and all those who live in Jerusalem, let this be known to you and listen to what I say. Indeed, these are not drunk as you suppose, for it is only 9 o'clock in the morning. No, this is what was spoken through the prophet Joel. In the last days it will be, God declares, that I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. Even upon my slaves, both men and women, in those days I will pour out my spirit, and they shall see prophecy, and they shall prophesy. And I will show portents in the heaven above and signs on the earth below, blood and fire and smoky mist. The sun shall be turned to darkness and the moon to blood before the coming of the Lord's great and glorious day. Then everyone who calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved."
Let us pray and ask God's Spirit to be with us this morning indeed, and to open our hearts and our minds to receive his message for us. Lord God, thank you for this day of Pentecost. Thank you for the coming of your Holy Spirit, that you are with us all the time, everywhere. Thank you for the power of your Spirit. Thank you that your Spirit allows us to be open to the message of Jesus. May your Spirit indeed fill us again today. May we hear the gospel message, and may it be in our lives each and every day. We pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen. One of the highlights of a warm summer evening, it's not the mosquitoes, is it? But it's the fireflies. Their cheery and rhythmic glow draws our attention in the backyard. You know, often we see them back here by the cottage. Now, whether you call them fireflies or lightning bugs or glow worms, those tiny lights are a definitive mark of summertime. But there's a quiet crisis unfolding in the tall grass. Experts believe firefly populations are dwindling, perhaps by as much as 70% in the recent years. And in Thailand, for instance, boatman Preacher used to take tourists down the Mekong River to see the banks aglow with fireflies. And now he says the only lights he sees are the fluorescent glows from hotels and restaurants. And he has to row 2 miles away from the city just to find a single spark. The culprit isn't just one thing. It's urban sprawl. It's pollution, but interestingly, it's also artificial light. Because you see, the fireflies that we see are the males using their lights to attract females. And researchers suspect that all our artificial city lights are interfering with their mating ritual. I guess you could say that the fireflies are being outshone. They aren't finding each other and they aren't reproducing. And scientists worry that the fate of these tiny little bearers, light bearers, is a harbinger, a warning sign of unhealthy changes in our entire ecosystem. So today is Pentecost, and it's the anniversary of that first century day when the Holy Spirit came in a mighty way upon the disciples. They were hunkered down in an upper room, perhaps fearing or feeling small and hidden, when suddenly the room filled with the sound of a violent wind. And then verse 3 tells us, divided tongues as of fire appeared among them, and a tongue rested on each of them. And since that moment, fire has been an important symbol of the Holy Spirit. It's a flame that connects us directly to Jesus. In John, Jesus said, "I am the light of the world." And so listen, when those tongues of fire rested on each follower, it showed us something profound. When the Spirit fills us, we become light bearers. And for centuries, Christians have glowed with this light, not through neon signs, but through sacrificial acts of love, and through the spread of the gospel of Jesus Christ, and through a relentless pursuit of God's will. And sometimes this light in a Christ follower is really bright and really visible. Malcolm Muggeridge once wrote about Mother Teresa in his book, Something Beautiful for God. And in it he said, God's universal love has rubbed off on Mother Teresa, giving her features a noticeable luminosity, a shining quality. But I guess for most of us, the light within might feel a little more subtle. And that leads us to a difficult question. Is our fire going up? Is our fire going out? You see, just as the fireflies are finding their inner lights overpowered by bright and artificial lighting, we often find the light of God within us growing dim. And it's not necessarily because of darkness, but because of other lights. When John, wrote about Jesus coming into the world, he described Jesus as the light of all people. And then he went on to say, the light shines in the darkness and the darkness can never extinguish it. In other words, darkness, like sin and evil and despair, cannot put out the light of Christ. The darkness can never extinguish the light. But other lights can wash it out. Other lights can dim the brightness for us. So let me give you some examples of these artificial lights that compete for our attention. There's the light of education. Now, some of us who first met Jesus as children or teenagers had a little spiritual light glowing inside us when we went off to college. And there we encountered not only new information, but also new ways of thinking about it. And so listen, scholasticism and information are wonderful gifts. But sometimes the lamp of human knowledge can be so bright that our spiritual light looks pale or unscientific by comparison. And for some, the scholastic light seemed, at least for a time, to overpower our inner light of the spirit. There's the light of psychology. And maybe you have struggled with some personal baggage from the past, or you need help to deal with the challenges you're facing in life today. And counseling can set us free from bondage and provide specific help for specific needs. And it's a good light. It's a different light. But it isn't a light for the root of our existence. Our need to be made right with our Creator. And only the light of the Spirit enables us to open ourselves up to the Savior who can forgive us and who can make us righteous. And then there's the light of culture. You know, secular life has a glitter to it. All the things of this world. We see people who seem perfectly happy, you know, without the burden of morality and religious values. And this light illumines certain pleasures, but it lacks the heat of inspiration. And it's not capable of lighting a path for the soul. And again, only the Holy Spirit can do that. Let me get back to the fireflies for just a moment. For fireflies to survive in a world that is ablaze with artificial light, they have to adapt. And I hope they do, so that the next generation can enjoy their subtle fireworks as well. The thing is, you know, we have to adapt too. And what I want you to understand is that the gospel doesn't demand an either-or choice. You don't have to choose between Jesus and science, or Jesus and medicine, or Jesus and technology. Those are not bad lights per se. We should be illuminated by these things. We should act on what they reveal to better our world and our existence. But here's what we must always remember. They are not our primary illumination. God's Spirit is. You see, the light of the Spirit is not just for day-to-day existence. It is a light for eternity. And the coming of the Spirit at Pentecost is the fire of the church. And it's our job to keep our hearts as places where that flame can burn hotly. We don't need to extinguish the lesser lights of human discovery. In fact, we should help them shine. But we must never be so dazzled by them that we stop glowing for Christ. We must never let the city lights of this world interfere with our mission to reproduce, to bring forth new generations of believers who carry the fire. So let us tend the flame. Let the world see that the fire of the Spirit is still burning bright in all of us. Amen. Let us pray. Lord our God, indeed there are so many different lights that distract, that seem to be true lights. And yet, Pentecost reminds us that there's only one light that shines for eternity. It's the flame of the Holy Spirit burning brightly in our churches and in your followers. May we tend that flame. May we always remember that our primary illumination in life is your Spirit of truth. Thank you for the coming of the Holy Spirit to the church, and to each of us, we celebrate that today. In the name of Jesus, amen.